I'm Peggy Pirro, and this is Food From Here. On this 30th episode of Food From Here, I've invited Brian Buxton back to talk about what's been happening in our local dining and restaurant scene since the last time we spoke, just about a year ago. Between you and me, it's felt a little volatile. We lost two upscale restaurants to fires, one perhaps for good. There have been ownership changes and closures, and higher menu prices have taken a toll on both customers and restaurant owners. So what's the inside story? Brian is now in his 10th year of covering the local restaurant scene for his Facebook page, Fingers, Fork, Knife, and Spoon. And he sees a lot of promise in the current climate, with more restaurants opening than closing, and more independent shops coming all the time. At one point in our conversation, I asked him to give me some top three recommendations in various categories, and he gave me a dozen for each. Later in the conversation, we talk about his acquisition last year of the local free monthly News For You and how that's been going as he adjusts to his role as publisher for yet another business he never planned to run. I'm hoping you enjoy my conversation with Brian Buxton of Fingers, Fork, Knife, and Spoon and News For You. Brian, welcome back to Food From Here.
Even though we've been talking for 30 minutes already.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back. I had fun the first time. And yeah. As always, you can either thank or blame my grandmother, because that's where I got the gift of gab from. I think I said before that she was the type of person that could literally talk to a brick wall. She could have a conversation, and not in a crazy, you know, mentally off way, but just talkative, and just nobody's a stranger, you know, and and so I'm kind of the same way. I've always got something to say. I've always got an opinion. I've always got, you know, some crazy experience or thought that I'll tell anybody about, I guess, if they ask.
Yeah. Well, you do a lot of talking about the local restaurant scene, which is, of course, what we're going to try and focus on today. But we'll see where the conversation goes. A lot of live reports on Facebook as well as daily posts on Facebook. We're going to get to News For You later in the conversation. Okay. So I'd like to start by just talking about your Facebook page and what is going on right now in the local restaurant scene. What's exciting, where the crowds are, where they're not. Maybe not where they're not. We can focus on the positive.
there's a reality to everything, too. So, I think that this is just about business, not political in any way at all. But the last few years have been hard. And, you know, we've had inflation. Things have been very expensive. And, things are starting to get better. Fuel is getting less expensive. There was a huge thing that kind of blew up on my Facebook page, which I didn't expect, about eggs. So I had made a post about egg prices coming down. And I had egg future screenshots, wholesale USDA reports and everything else. And people got on and they said, I'm a liar and I'm a terrible journalist and how dare I, put out bad information. And I was like, you guys realize that these are wholesale prices, that when the prices are coming down, it's wholesale. And it takes a few days for that to reflect in the retail sector where, you go to the store and it's less expensive because let's say that somebody's got 30 pallets of eggs. Well, if they've only sold 15 and the prices drop, they have to sell those other 15 pallets at the higher price that they had to pay back then before they get the new shipments in, and it reflects in lower prices there. But people went crazy. I mean, literally called me a liar and everything else. And I'm like, this is basic economics. This is basic business. And I was like, I get that a lot of people don't understand that. But, just because, same thing with a gas station. If a gas station has got 1,000 gallons of fuel in their tank, they sell 500. Well, they had to pay $3 a gallon, let's just say, for the 1,000. They've got 500 left, and now gas drops to 250. Well, they can't just sell the remaining 500 gallons for the 50 cent cheaper price because they paid more for it, and they still have it in inventory. And people just didn't seem to understand that. And I mean, people just like I even talked about it last night, but I got an exceptionally offensive, rude message from somebody because I was talking about a local business that just opened that technically didn't start in Indiana, but the owner now lives in Indiana, and he has for 2 years. He's bought probably $1 million worth of property in Indiana, in Evansville, and he's opened a business. And I'm like, this guy's invested here. I was like, this is a local business. He's moved his corporate headquarters from, you know, here from California and everything else. And this guy just, you know, every single post about this, I'm selling my soul and I'm ruining my name and I'm not even going to say the word on your podcast, a nice four-letter, you know, choice four-letter word that he called me. And I'm just like, dude, what is going on? You know, it's like he had this personal vendetta against this specific place because not a day before or a couple days before, I posted about Chick-fil-A. Well, Chick-fil-A is not local. And I've posted about Chewy's and I've posted about all these different things because it's news. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of supporting local, but if it's restaurant news, I'm going to talk about it. We posted about Olive Garden moving to the West Side. Well, Olive Garden's not a local, you know, it never has been and it never will be, but it's news. So I report about that. You know, but restaurant trends, I mean, I think people have pulled back a little bit. Just to kind of switch gears back to your question, I think people have pulled back a little bit on spending. So they're not dining out quite as much. If they are, they are, you know, instead of going somewhere 3 days a week, they go once a week or they go every other week when they get paid. And, you know, that's kind of a reflection. That's a conversation I had with Josh Petrowski with Docs, who's closing. And he just said our customers just kind of disappeared. And the people that used to be here every day, now they're here twice a week. And I've talked to a lot of different people in all different, you know, kind of price ranges of different restaurants, you know, from the mom and pop that you can go eat at $9 or, you know, the steakhouse that's $200 for two people. Everybody has said we're a little bit slow. You know, things are a little bit different than they were in October, November, December. And I think that's when everything kind of started to slow down. But I think things are going to get better. I think prices are coming down on a lot of their supplies, like eggs is one of the big ones. And I think it's nice because we're seeing a lot of places opening. So people are taking the chance. They're taking a risk. They're opening their own business. They're opening their own restaurant. There's a lot of places that are coming, you know, coming soon or that have opened. And I keep track of that. So in News For You every month, I don't do it on the food page. I do it once a year on the food page. But on News For You, I do a column called Evansville, a Restaurant 411. I'm always thinking about Evansville 411 on Facebook, but I do a thing called Restaurant 411 where we talk about the places that have opened in the last 2 months, the places that have closed in the last 2 months, and places that you can look forward to coming in the next weeks.
There's enough for a monthly column that, huh?
Oh, yeah. You can open the new one. It's a whole page. It's a full page. Mm. And so the column of places that have closed in 2025 so far is much, much smaller than the places that are open, and the places that are coming are twice as big as both of them put together. Hmm. So I keep track of that, and I'll do it, you know, I'll do it on Facebook in December, just kind of as a yearly roundup. But I mean, that fills a page. And I was going to say, if you guys are listening to this and you want to see this, if you don't pick up a News For You magazine physically in person, it's on newsforyouevv.com. All of our issues are on our website. So it's news for the number for you, just you, not Y-O-U, E-V-V as in Evansville.com. And you can see the whole issue digitally. You can email it to somebody in China if you want to. You can airdrop it to somebody, text the link, whatever. So you can share it basically to anybody that's got any sort of mobile device or computer or anything else.
It's interesting that you note that this seems to be across the board, that people are having similar experiences with their diners, that it's not focused on one particular segment.
And that stuff's just, it's you know, gradients of scale is what it is. Because I've had this conversation with people before when fuel prices went up, you know, a few years ago. And everybody's like, oh, well, you know, this really hurts the little person, the family, you know, whatever. And I'm like, well, if you think about it, you know, and I've had this conversation about pay, about raising, you know, I said, here's what it costs a small business to raise everyone that works for them by $1 an hour. And this is what it costs Walmart, who has hundreds of thousands of employees and literally millions, tens of millions of dollars a day in operating costs. And so, you know, they're like, well, high gas prices hurt the little person. Well, it hurts everybody, because no matter how much money you have, if you have a private jet or a yacht, and it costs you, you know, it goes from $150,000 to fill up your yacht to $300,000, you feel that. It doesn't matter how much money you have when the cost of something you do doubles. And no, a yacht's not a necessity. It's not, you know, somebody driving to work or whatever. But a lot of people have jets for business. They use them, you know, almost on a daily basis to travel. It cuts down on their time. It makes them more efficient. And when you're using that to do business and go to meetings and close deals, yeah, you know, when your jet costs you, like I said, you know, if a jet's $75,000 to fill up and all of a sudden it's $400,000, well, that makes a big difference. You know, you feel it no matter what. So it's just it's the same kind of thing. It's just on a different scale.
One of the Facebook Lives that I did tune into was probably a couple months ago.
You should watch them all because they're all so good.
They are good. but it was when you were doing a comparison of the cost of restaurant meals versus home meals and what factors are going into determining what things actually cost. Because there isn't always an assumption that home meals are less expensive. And oftentimes they are considerably less expensive. But we don't consider, as you pointed out in this Facebook Live, the cost of all your home inputs that a restaurant would have to take into consideration, like your mortgage, your utilities, the appliances you have to own, your own labor for putting a meal together. Right. And when you try to balance these things out and look at what a restaurant meal costs versus what you can do at home, the numbers get a lot closer when you think of when you compare the actual inputs of both places. I thought this was a good point that you were making that doesn't get considered, you know, all the time when we're thinking when we go out to dinner and something that we used to pay $15 for is now $22.
Right. And that's one of the trends, too, is that even though, you know, people or even though things have gotten more expensive and people aren't necessarily dining out as often, a lot of people have said it's cheaper for me to go out or it's the same price. And a lot of that's reflected, you know, that going back to the egg, you know, example that we had talked about earlier, you know, some places you can go get a meal like Libby and Mom's. You can go eat for $6, you know, and Burger Bank. Burger Bank's got a deal every and I always think it's funny because, you know, they always put pictures out every day and they change their cover photo. I just think nobody else does that. You know, when they have a pork sandwich or a BLT, they actually change the cover photo on their Facebook page to that sandwich. So I always enjoy that. And so I always share, you know, Burger Bank's lunch specials. But, you know, some of the stuff, you can go get a BLT there for $3 and then you buy a side and a drink. And it's like, you can't get that anywhere. And a lot of times when McDonald's is $22 to go and get a meal for a couple of people, well, you can go to Stockwell Inn and get a huge plate of spaghetti or lasagna or fried chicken or whatever. It's $9. Where in the world are you going to go? And, you know, and so I think a lot of these places haven't responded to the change because they don't want to hurt their customers. They, you know, they haven't adjusted their menu prices. And during the egg thing, that was something that came up. I don't know if you heard that, but Cracker Barrel said, hey, we're going to have a surcharge on eggs, 50 cents. And so some local places were saying, we're not going to raise our prices. And then others were saying, well, we have to, but people weren't. And this is what we talked about before, asking questions, thinking about things, looking at the facts before you react and before you get upset. But, you know, one local restaurant that charges $6 for breakfast with two eggs and toast and a protein, they have to raise their prices when their egg, you know, costs go up, when their inventory costs go up.
If they double, especially as eggs have.
Whereas there's other places in town that charge $13 for the same breakfast. Well, they can eat that. They can absorb.
They have more room.
Yeah, they can absorb that increase. And some people are saying, oh, well, they're just gouging people and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look at the difference. I said that you're paying, you know, double. And I'm not faulting anybody for that. If, you know, if you can get more than that, charge it. If somebody comes in and will pay you $20 for breakfast, charge them $20 because, you know, that's market. That's the market. It's supply and demand, and it's what the people are willing to pay. And they'll tell you that if you're charging too much or not. But you can't blame a place that's charging $6.50 or $6 and six, you know, for breakfast, and a place that's charging $13 for the same thing, and one raises prices and one doesn't. Well, of course they have to raise their prices, but people don't look at that. And it's like their menus are out there. Go look at the two menus, compare what they charge, and that answers your question. You don't have to get all offended. You don't have to, you know, badmouth them on the internet and all that. Just do your research. You know, do the most basic amount of research, and you'll figure out what's going on.
So are things volatile in restaurant land, would you say?
There's a lot of people that are struggling, and I haven't posted about it just yet, but I know that there's probably four or five restaurants that are for sale actively right now, you know, and you've had a couple of places like Sauced and Madeline's, you know, that burned to the point where the buildings probably need to be. Sauced is worse than Madeline's. Madeline's can probably be salvaged, but they're not in any hurry to rebuild. They're not in any hurry to reopen a restaurant. And I think that says something too, where, you know, things are tough. I mean, restaurant business is always tough. It's one of the most difficult businesses you can ever get involved in. It's one that's got the least amount of profit margin, even though people don't understand that. But, you know, when someone sort of gets an out that way, and it's an unfortunate, you know, way to do that because you've got staff that's lost their jobs and things like that. But when something happens, it's like your car breaks down constantly and somebody, you know, rear ends you at a stoplight and you're like, oh, wow, now the insurance company is going to give me a check and I can be done with this. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that in a negative way or that anybody would ever want their business to, you know, to disappear in that manner. But sometimes it's kind of a relief. And I just don't want people to think, oh, yeah, well, you know, these guys wanted their restaurants to burn and they wanted them to disappear. But sometimes when your life changes in a way and you've got less stress and you've got less, you know, problems and less monthly overhead, you're kind of in a, you know, you're like, hey, this isn't such a bad different place that I'm in. I'm going to go with this for a while, you know, and just kind of live with it, unfortunately. But like I said, I know they were both upset about the restaurants, but that's the reality of it.
I think that's a reality that most people, if they think about it for a moment, would understand that when you have a lifting of your obligations, that you have a reprieve. There's something to be said for that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, now I can go to Florida and sit on the beach for a while and just enjoy myself, which, you know, you can't always do when you've got a business. I mean, same thing with the magazine. I need to go to Michigan and take care of a couple of things. And the magazine is literally daily. It is a daily thing. And if you don't do that, it's really hard to get it out on time.
I want to talk about the magazine, but I want to talk a couple more minutes about the local restaurant scene. And I'm hoping that we can do maybe like a I don't know, a flash.
Well, when we talked about this before, and I'll just apologize to everybody in advance because I hate doing this because I always forget someone because just in the instant where I'm like, and this isn't live, so I can sit and think and I can Google something if I really want to, you know, but I always leave somebody out that I don't want to leave out, or somebody will say, well, how come you didn't mention us? You know, we've got pizza. It's like, well, just what pops into my head. And see, this is a thing too, though. Is that marketing and advertising, the people, even with me, even though I know just about every restaurant in town and who's going to show up, you know, in the future and be around and who's leaving, who's closing, there's certain places that just pop in my head. And it's because I either go there on a regular basis or I really like their food or they've done some unique marketing and advertising on that specific thing that we're discussing that makes me think of them. So even with me, that works to their advantage.
Sure.
You know,
keeps it top of mind. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm not leaving anybody out, you know, intentionally. It's not that I don't like, you know, certain places, but
if you want to complain, you can send your complaints to me here at foodfromhere@wnin.org. Anyway, we're going to do a couple of these flash lists. I'm just going to ask you for your top three. We've already done a couple of cheap eats because we talked about the $6 breakfast and the inexpensive BLTs. And
you know, there's quite a few places, honestly. And when I've talked about the lunch specials that I always talk about each week, you know, there's some really good places that are less than $10. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, or even less than $12, and that's still a great deal for the quality and the amount of food that you get. But I mean, just off the top of my head, the Lunchbox. I mean, I love Sam Wagner. I went and spoke to those kids just about entrepreneurial, you know, ideas and about their future in the food industry and the food world. And I just think that's such a great value. And it's only during school, you know, during when high school is in session because they're high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes it even better. They're in a culinary program. They're learning how to do this. And they're giving you, I mean, a really, really, really good meal for
$8. Yes. Remind us of where that is?
It's on Lynch Road. Mm-hmm. I could tell you the address real quick because I posted about it this morning. But if you go to my page, all of these places will pop up, but it's 1901 Lynch Road. So mm-hmm. It's in the Southern Indiana Career and Technical Center, which is really close to 41. It's on the west end of Lynch before it T-bones 41. And Stockwell Inn has got a great lunch special. Highland Inn you know, has got another one. And there's a bunch of local taverns and a bunch of local restaurants. And, you know, kind of like I said, I've got a pinned post on my page. So if I don't post about places that people might want to know what they've got, or they've got a favorite restaurant and they're wondering what their lunch special is going to be, I've actually got a pinned post because there's over like 89 local restaurants that have specials for lunch, and I can't post all of them. I can't do it. So, but I can make the list, and you can go and say, oh, hey, I want to see what Casa Fiesta is doing. I want, you know, Sakura is another one in Newburgh that has a great inexpensive bento box for a lunch special. Domo's got a really good one. So there's a lot of places, but, you know, people, I think people have this expectation, you know, that every restaurant is going to be like Burger Bank, which I think is probably the cheapest in town. I mean, I think you can go eat for $6.
And where is Burger Bank?
Oh, it's off of Weinbach.
Okay.
Kind of on the south end, mm-hmm. you know, of Weinbach. But, you know, Burger Bank is one of them that they'll have like the BLT that we talked about. Mm-hmm. And see, this is the crazy part is that they had to raise their prices a little bit. And this is just what tickles me sometimes about people. And it's what irritates the living, you know, life out of me other times. Someone actually complained that this BLT was $3. And then you get a side and a drink, you know, whatever, but it's still a $6 meal. Someone complained there wasn't enough bacon on the BLT, and I said, it's $3. What in the world do you expect for $3? I'm like, you can't go buy a loaf of bread and lettuce for $3, much less mayonnaise and tomatoes and bacon. I'm like, this if you went to the store and didn't have anything at home to make this, it'd be $20. It's like, what do you, $3, and it doesn't, you know, I'm like, you can pay them for extra bacon. If you want to pay the extra couple dollars, whatever it is, you can get a whole pound of bacon if you want to. But for the way that they offer it, I mean, that's probably the cheapest place in town. And it's good food, you know. Onion rings are good. People talk about the tater tots all the time. I mean, Zesto and Big Top are kind of the same. It's a nice old little walk-up burger place, greasy fries, greasy onion rings, you know, great soft serve ice cream, things like that. But there's a lot of places in town where you can get a really good deal for, you know, under $12 for sure.
A lot of these I would put on what would be my second top three question for you, and that is overlooked places.
You know, I think I would have to say ethnic restaurants, because one of the things that I've learned, and I don't mean this necessarily in a negative way, but there's a lot of ethnic owners, and this, it runs the gamut. It's not just, you know, one particular group of people, but I mean, Mexican restaurants, Asian restaurants of all different types, you know, Vietnamese, whatever, they just don't advertise. Some of them don't even have Facebook pages, you know, and it's like 20 years ago, that was okay, because I was actually having a conversation on the phone driving over here. And, you know, I was like, look at all these places that have been around for 25 or 30 years, and they've never advertised. But things have changed now, and we're in the digital age, and people can find just about anything online. And if you don't show up in that search, if you're not in front of people, and that's what I talk about, you know, people with the magazine and even now with the food page, because we're doing some new things with the food page that I never intended, but it's almost become a necessity, is that if you don't advertise, you're not in the forefront of somebody's mind. And that's what we just said before. It's like, there's places that I love to eat, and they don't necessarily pop up when you ask me what's a good place to go for this. They may not initially pop up because there's other places that I might have just seen an ad for, or seen, you know, something on Facebook or whatever. And so a lot of these places are just really bad at marketing. And I think they get overlooked because of that. And I wish they didn't, because some of these places are great. But, you know, Miranda, the taqueria and pupuseria on Washington.
Sure.
That's one of the amazing places. I think a lot of the super authentic Mexican restaurants get overlooked, because I'll have people, you know, they'll post something online and they're like, oh, there's just no good Mexican here. And I'm like, there's no good Mexican in Evansville. I'm like, there's 55 restaurants that are, you know, that serve Mexican food. Well, where do you go? Oh, I've been to so-and-so. And I'm like, mm-hmm. That's not Mexican food. That's Americanized, you know, mm-hmm. Tex-Mex at best. I'm like, have you ever been to Nacho's Grill? Have you ever been to La Camperana? Have you ever been to Medina's or the Bodega in Henderson? Well, I've never even heard of those places. I'm like, well, those are the places, you know, Don Juan and Newburgh. I'm like, that's super, super authentic Mexican food, but people don't necessarily think about them because they don't do a lot of advertising. When do you ever see anything about our local Vietnamese restaurant?
Yeah.
There's only one. Right. I mean, they don't have competition. There's no competition, but you never see anything about them. And they've got phenomenal food. The owner's a super nice guy. I love going there, but they don't advertise, you know? And it's like, I think a lot of these places get overlooked just because they haven't gotten the understanding that you have to have name recognition. You have to have brand recognition. You have to be seen by people, you know? So, I mean, Miranda's one of them. You know, Playa Azul on Green River Road, mm-hmm. the Sinaloan Mexican restaurant. Their menu's not even in English.
Huh.
So that's a whole other conversation because that seems to be a trend in town also with places opening where the GMs and the staff don't speak English. I've gone to a couple of them where I've had to literally use a phone translator to have a conversation. And I'm like, how are you going to manage your staff? How are people going to order food when your menu's not in, you know, not in English and your servers don't speak English? It's like, I don't understand the concept here, but that's a thing. And, you know, not just Mexican restaurants, but there's a Japanese restaurant too. And I'm just like, what in the world is going on? I don't understand it. You know, where there's 18% of our local population is Spanish, you know, or Mexican. And, you know, that leaves the whole rest of the city that they're missing out on. But, you know, because it's not like there's not other Mexican restaurants to choose from. We have a nice selection of Japanese and, you know, Asian places. So if people, you know, I had somebody contact me once. They're like, hey, I want to order from this place. I can't find their phone number. Their menu's not online, you know, whatever. No one's going to go on a scavenger hunt to try to give you money. They're just going to move on to the next place. So if you're not out there, you know, you don't get seen. And so, I mean, in that list of you know, kind of underrated
overlooked.
You know, overlooked, yeah. Places. I mean, I would say Vietnamese, what's the place right next door to them? Yang Shabu Shabu, Mama's Kitchen in the mm-hmm. Iowa Market, Nachos on South Green River Road, El Paisano, you know, is really good. Some of the places are just food trucks, so they're not out on a regular basis. But La Playa just opened up a brick and mortar in the former Hardee's and Sam's Southern Eatery on Green River Road. You know, you've got Bodega in Henderson. You've got Medina's in Henderson, which are both Mexican. There's some really good places. You know, I mean, there's some great spots in town. And, you know, I would just encourage people to kind of go out and try to find some place they've never been. And even just paying attention, if you're out driving at a stoplight, just look around. I mean, you'll see some great places. You know, Cap and Cork just opened in Henderson. I think a lot of people don't think about Farmer and Frenchman for some reason. You know, and they're packed all the time. I mean, that's not exactly a true statement. But when people ask about steaks or about, you know, oh, well, there's no French restaurants in town, I'm like, Farmer and Frenchman. They're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they don't think about it for some reason. But, I mean, House of Como is another one. Every time I mention House of Como to somebody, oh, I thought they'd been closed for 20 years. And I'm like, no. I was like, I was just there on Thursday. You know, I literally was just there on Thursday night. I had dinner at Como. You know, but I just think there's a lot of places that are sort of on the outskirts sometimes or that just don't do any marketing and advertising. And they've been busy for, you know, for years, but they just seem to get, you know, overlooked a little bit, which is where I come in.
Farmer and Frenchman doesn't have, as you were saying, doesn't seem to have a problem filling their dining room.
No, they're busy all the time.
And even though they're on the relatively new side of what I would consider the classics or the evergreen restaurants mm-hmm. here, they have pretty much established themselves as a really nice high-end place to, place to get some really nice food. Are there any other evergreens or classic restaurants that have been around a while that have, like, stood the test of time?
You know, I was just having a conversation the other day about this, and one of the things that I do want to do, and I've got this list of things that I want to do that I'll probably never finish. I'm working on a list of every restaurant in town right now, yeah. Which is a gigantic undertaking.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, the evergreens, I mean, I want to do a list of places that have been open, let's say 50 years or longer, you know, which would be Sandy's Pizza. They just celebrated 50 years in Fort Branch, I guess. And Log In, obviously. I think the Hilltop has probably been open. I'd have to look that up, but that's probably been open quite a while. House of Como, Rockabar, you know, Rockabar's 1953. They've been serving pizza. It was the first place in Evansville to serve pizza. Como's been at their location forever, and they were at the Brown Derby across the street, the old Brown Derby location mm-hmm. that burned before that. So, you know, I'd kind of like to do a list of restaurants that have been around for 50 years or longer. I would consider all of those definitely, you know, definitely evergreen and definitely places that would qualify to be on that list. So I'm trying to think of some others. I'd have to look that up. But, I mean, those are the those are the big, you know, the big ones that pop into my head off, off of the top. And actually, I've got my computer. I'm just out of curiosity. I'm just going to type, you know, like oldest restaurant in Evansville. You know, login, of course, is the first one that comes up. I'm sure there's some that have been around a long time. You know, and they'll log in, just looking at this, 200 years. You know, the login is 200 years old.
That's astonishing.
In 2025. You know, built in 1825.
Okay, next category.
What else?
Where are you going to take your parents?
Oh, my gosh. So we always used to go, and this is one of my other, you know, kind of like passion projects or whatever. They had a Yorkie who passed away last year. And they got him because of Brando, who was my dog, that they just liked him so much. They're like, oh, we're going to get a Yorkie. And so we always would go to places that you could take your dog, you know, which brings up my Dining with Dogs, you know, my Dining with Dogs article. But, you know, now that he's passed, you know, they like Smitty's. I mean, we like to sit outside no matter what. But they have been keto off and on, and they, you know, kind of do a carnivore diet a little bit here and there. And they like places with vegetables. Okay. So they like Smitty's because it's got all the above and a really nice patio. We've been to Bad Randy's, especially for brunch a few times. They're big fans of the Cork and Cleaver, the salmon specifically in the salad bar. They like to go. They actually live down the street from St. Joe Tavern or okay. St. Joe Inn.
Yeah.
And so they go there quite a bit. But, you know, it's not they're not big on food trucks. They're not big on, you know, they don't like fast food, you know, at all. But they want something kind of healthier and a little better quality. They like Crisp and Green, actually, the new Crisp and Green that opened up last year. And they've got a little patio outside and, you know, really, really good menu and healthy food. So, you know, kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they'll go eat breakfast at Kite and Key. They like Kite and Key. And I don't know, where else do we go? I'm trying to think. We don't go, believe it or not, I don't go out to eat a lot with them. We cook at their house and grill out or whatever. But Hickory Pit Stop, they like Hickory Pit Stop Barbecue. So those are just some of the places that, you know, we kind of frequent when we do go out.
How about patio restaurants, restaurants with patios?
Believe it or not, we just did. That is our news for you, April edition. And I've got I'll show you the cover. And actually, just so you guys know, the April edition is on the ground right now. This will be, you know, way past news.
As we record it.
Yeah, we're recording this. But our current April issue, which is going to be out today, is River Views and Patios. And so that's the cover.
Oh,
and you know,
timely.
Yeah, and so I'm just going to cheat because I'm looking at the own magazine that we just put together. But, I mean, Merida has got to be one of the best in town.
Yeah.
And so, you know, River Views and Patios, we kind of incorporated that together because not everybody's got a River View. But all of the ones, or most of the ones that we mentioned do. You know, Merida and Newburg, which was the former Landing, which was the former Edgewater Grill, has probably got the most amazing view from a patio in the city. Kavanaugh's doesn't have a patio, but their view from the restaurant is amazing. Cap and Cork is another one. The Dive Barge and Marina Point, obviously. And then Bud's doesn't have a rear view, but they've got a great patio. Second Language, Bar Louie has two. Boca Lounge, Deerhead. I like Deerhead's, you know, little family room outdoor patio. Fiesta Acapulco has got a great one. Honeymoon in Newburgh. Kite and Key on Franklin. Roberts by the River actually doesn't technically have a river view because they're below street level.
Right.
But they're literally right there. You can walk across the street. Smitty's, we talked about, has got a great patio. I think Sportsman's and Gerst are kind of special mentions. Chewy's. So I just stopped by Chewy's the other day, and they are building a patio that's the entire length of the building that's going to overlook the little pond in between them and the hotel. And so, you know, who else? 10-8 Cafe has got a great patio.
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
No.
10-8 Cafe. It's Lawman Tactical. Corner Lynch, 41.
Yes.
You know, Bad Randy's has got a really nice back patio. Brewburger, Bubba's 33, Cafe Arazu, Casey's Dugout has got a really unique, fun patio with a bunch of signage from old, you know, local restaurants, including Sir Beef. Chasers has got, you know, that's the thing. Franklin Street's kind of turning into sort of a little mini New Orleans because now just about anybody that has a patio has got a second level terrace. So Noche, Chasers, you know, Casey was wanting to do something with Buds, but, you know, he's talking about something else on Franklin that's going to have that. There's a lot of places that either have rooftop or second story, you know, second level patios. And that's, you know, if you go to New Orleans, that's
everybody, the thing.
On Bourbon Street. Damsel's Brew Pub has got a nice patio. Entwined, obviously Farmer and Frenchman. You know, Homer's Barbecue's actually got a really nice patio. Sorry, that was Riley.
That was Riley.
Shaking off his sleep. You know, Homer's and Henderson, On Deck and Henderson, is owned by the same people that have Rookies. They've got a great river view. Hornet's Nest, Knob Hill has got two different patios. Unfortunately, not dog friendly. I'm trying to change them on that. The Patsy Hardigan's has got one. Primetime North, Primetime Newburgh. I mean, I could literally go on all day long.
Yeah.
Samuel's, the rooftop. You know, like I said, Gerst and Sportsman's.
But if listeners happen to be listening to this past the time that they can pick up the April issue on the newsstand, just so you know, you can always find it online. The April issue I'm talking about of News for You. You can always find it online to refer to these in July, or maybe not in July when it's like blazing hot, but September and October, when it's really nice to be on patios, you can look online for the April edition of News for You and get this fairly comprehensive list of patios and Riverview restaurants.
Yeah, we've got a lot, but also the same thing, that my Dining with Dogs article, that's always on my Facebook page, and it's always a pinned post, and it's not every patio in Evansville, but it's dog friendly.
Okay.
And oddly enough, there's 137 or so, 139 maybe now, in Evansville that are dog friendly.
Oh.
So it's a pretty comprehensive list of patios. If you don't have a dog, or you don't want to take your dog anywhere, or your dog acts crazy and you can't, it's still a pretty comprehensive list of local patios. So that's always, you know, on Fingers, Fork, Knife, and Spoon on Facebook, that's always a pinned post, and you can always go and refer to that. And just because, you know, every year we've got somebody that freaks out, I'm never going to go there, I'm never going to give them my money. And I'm like, it's outside. You know, it's like dogs are not allowed inside restaurants, you know, per health code, you know, issues, and that's across the country, not just Evansville. But, you know, you're not going to go and see a dog inside of a restaurant unless there is somebody that has a medical issue and it's a legitimate service dog that will behave better than 99% of the people in the restaurant. So that's not even an issue. But, you know, there's always somebody that says, I'll never go there, I don't want to eat with a dog. And I was like, what do you do if you're sitting out on a patio or a park bench and a dog walks by? I mean, do you like lose your mind when that happens? It's like, you know, people walk their dogs, and it's not, you know, what about my allergies? And I said, well, good grief. If you're sitting outside, you've got dander, you've got pollen, you've got dust, you've got all kind of stuff that's on a patio. If your allergies are that bad, don't sit outside.
You wanted to mention one more thing about your Facebook page before we moved on to News for You.
One of the things that has changed with the food page is I'm starting to do more with allowing restaurants to help me market for them and advertise for them. So one of the things that we're doing that's new, and you know, 9 years. This my page was on March. When was it? March 9th, I think, was a Sunday, maybe. March 9th. 2016 was when I started the page. So 9 years and, you know, 60 Facebook Lives. We did our 63rd last night on us every Sunday night. You guys can listen to it. But I never intended to monetize the page. I always just wanted to help market and kind of champion local businesses, local restaurants, places to go out and eat and get a great meal. Like we talked about, places that people may not think about. And I never, ever wanted to do anything, you know, financially with it, because not that I thought that it was anything. I mean, Amy Bloom wrote for the Courier and she got paid. It was her job. It doesn't affect me talking about any place. It was just one of those things where I was like, you know, I know how tough it is for small businesses to succeed. I've owned small businesses my entire life. And I just want to do this, one, it was fun, and two, just to help local business. Well, once you get to a certain size and a certain type of reach with social media especially, you can do a lot more in that vein. And so you've got such a big reach. I mean, like between the pages that I either founded or the pages that I admin, we've got 155,000 followers just on Facebook. That's not Instagram. That's not anything else, just Facebook. And I've got a YouTube page too. And so I've started to have businesses reach out And they're like, hey, we would like to sponsor your Sunday Sit Down Facebook Live. Hey, we would like to sponsor your posts. You know, we would like to have post sponsorships. And Evansville Watch does that. You know, it's just a progression of growth. And the page has become so large and has become such a requirement that it's taking up a lot of time, and you don't get paid for this. I mean, I said last night, you know, I went around Saturday just to take some pictures of some local places, do some research on the windmill that just closed on 40, or the old windmill bakery that just closed on 41, get some pictures of Burrito Express, get some pictures of the new Dunkin' that's on Burkhart. I drove 75 miles, you know, just doing that. And I have, that cost me in fuel, that cost me in maintenance on my vehicles. It's time, you know, I've got 35 years of experience in business. And I'll sit down with a business owner and I'll talk to them for 3.5 hours about marketing and advertising and things like that. But if you hired a consultant to come in and give you the same information, you'd pay them. And so when people start to come to me and say, hey, we'd like to sponsor your post, I'm not going to say no, you know, or hey, we'd like to sponsor your Facebook Live. Our lives average like 4,800 viewers or listeners every week. And so I'm not trying to, I mean, I'm not getting rich off of it, trust me, for the amount of time that it takes. But I don't think people understand how much time Evansville 411 or Evansville Watch or my page puts into it to make that happen. And we, even with News for You, we hired an intern. I've got a girl at USI that basically, you know, I'll post some things on their Facebook page for News for You, but she does at least a couple a day. But I've got to pay her because that's her time, you know. And so we've started to do that where you can sponsor things with us. And that helps you. You know, people are like, oh, well, you just go everywhere and everybody gives you food. I'm like, no, they don't. You know, I was like, I wish. You know, I was like, I'll show you my credit card bills. And it's in the five figures for restaurant dining a lot of times. You know, there was one year where my accountant said something to me. He's like, you know, you might want to cut back on this a little bit. And that was before the food page. But, you know, we're just dining out. And so that's one of the things that's kind of changed. And I think it's going to help everybody. I mean, you know, people can send stars, they can make donations to all these other pages. And I'm just like, you know, if people want that and we've got the reach and we can help them, it's absolutely something I want to do.
So how does your purchase of News for You fit into this bigger picture?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
Now, you bought News for You last fall.
July 31st.
Oh, last summer.
Okay. Was when I officially took all over. Right. And so because of the way that magazines work, and this is, you know, this is one of these crazy things that we had to get used to, my staff and I, because I've never published anything. I mean, I've never owned a magazine, never intended to own a magazine, never had any desire to. I think I told a story the other day when I was 5 years old, you know, because I've always been better at writing and later in life speaking than like mathematics. Horrible at math, I still am, but I've always been able to write. And so I used to type up newspapers. And I would have a story about cowboys or about farmers or about an astronaut, you know, or whatever. And I'd make newspapers up. And my friends and I used to do a thing like we would be a news team and we would have like a desk that we made out of wood and, you know, and cardboard or whatever and do a news show.
Oh, how fun.
You know, and so, but other than that, I've never published anything. I've thought about writing a book. You know, I've got a lot of different things that are in my head, but we've never done that. And so with a magazine, you have to be so far ahead and thinking about, hey, what is going on in November? What, you know, 4th of July, we got to have fireworks. We need to talk to a fireworks store. We need to do this. We need to do that. What kind of stories, you know, about Veterans Day or Memorial Day or things that we want to include in certain issues. And we've always got to be a month ahead.
At least.
Because, you know, for our April issue to come out now and to be relevant and correct and up to date with things like Mardi Gras and, you know, whatever, we got to be a month ahead and we have to upload that magazine around the 22nd, 23rd, 24th for it to go to the printers, get checked, get printed, get, you know, palletized and put on a truck and shipped here. So we don't even have the entire month to work on May for April. We've got to be done in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And so you've always got to be thinking ahead. You've always got to be planning ahead. You're always writing. You're always researching. You're always contacting people and saying, hey, is your ad going to be any different, you know, or whatever. And so it's very different with that in that it's not instantaneous. And even when I do Restaurant 411 or when I do other things, I try to wait till the last minute because invariably there's always a place that closes at the last minute or pops open, you know, opens a week earlier than they were supposed to. And I want that to be as relevant and updated as I possibly can. But it's tough because sometimes you just have to say, okay, we have to upload the magazine. It's got to go to print. With the food page, it's instantaneous. Right. I can hear about something and I can literally post about it right now. You know, I've got my computer sitting in front of me. If something happened, I could make a post on Facebook right now doing your podcast.
Can I ask then why?
Why which?
Why News for You? Why did you decide you wanted to take this on?
You know, it was one of those weird, things that has kind of defined my entire life, where everything that I've ever done was not planned. You know, the one thing that I went to college for, I didn't ended up not doing, but it helped me immensely because just from our conversation earlier, you were like, you've got some psychology background. And that's 100%. Business. It's 100% dealing with the public. It's mm-hmm. marketing. It's advertising. There is psychology in that more than anyone would believe or realize. And just with you and I talking earlier before this started, I said, anyone that runs a business, I don't care what you do. If you deal with the public, if you do marketing, if you do advertising, you should take psychology classes. But the magazine was just a random conversation with Brian Bennett and I. I went out to Penny Lane North to film a Facebook Live and just give him some exposure on the new, you know, the new location before they opened to the public. And we were talking about business and people in Evansville and just whatever. And he says, well, you know, if you own News for You magazine, you could put anything in it you wanted. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, sure. And I just kind of, you know, off the cuff comment. And I thought about it that night. And a couple of days later, I just messaged him. And I said, hey, were you serious about what you said? So it was just one of those like weird things. And my entire life, everything that I've planned to do, as I said, just never really materialized, and everything that I've done was not at all planned. I never intended to open a car dealership. I never intended to, you know, do a transport company or do all the other things that I've done. It just happened. It sort of fell in my lap, and it's always worked out. And so this was kind of the same thing. I'm like, well, this is another one of those situations, you know, where this just appeared and I had no intention of, you know, of ever owning a magazine or doing anything like that. But it seems like an opportunity that goes along with what I already do and what I know and my experience. And I said, why not? So it was, you know, one of those things that I always tell people. I'm like, I'm the dumbest person you've ever met. I mean, I really am. I just, you know, and the, one of the whole reasons that like with my car dealership that it worked was because I was dumb enough to not know that it wasn't supposed to work. I wasn't supposed to be successful at it. And so I didn't know that. And so I just worked that hard to make it function because it needed to.
It needed to function.
Yeah, it had to. I mean, I didn't really have a choice. And it did, you know, for 30 years. And so it was just one of those things where I'm like, hey, this is something I didn't think about doing. It just randomly appeared in my, you know, in my life. And I was like, why not? Let's see what happens.
It fit somehow.
It made sense at the time.
The business model, it's entirely advertiser supported.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah, the magazine's free.
That's not going to change?
No.
Okay.
You know, I've talked to, and it, since we have a new printer, I've got to talk to them because some people every month are like, hey, I moved, or hey, I can't get out, and you know, pick one up. Can you mail me one? Mm. And so I've thought about doing a subscription to it just so that people don't have to go somewhere, or like if you move to Louisville or North Carolina, you know, is one guy that we send them to where the printer just takes care of that. To mm-hmm. someone wants to pay us, you know, mm-hmm. $8 a month. I mean, whatever it is, I think sending magazines, that's about what it costs right now to put it in something where it doesn't get crumpled up and all that. You know, but I've talked to Todd Tucker at Evansville Living, who's a longtime friend of mine, and I did a lot of advertising with them in the past. And there's a lot to it. There's a lot of expense. You have to be audited by the Postal Service twice a year. I mean, it's a lot, probably more than I necessarily mm-hmm. want to get into, but I've thought about it. But we don't charge for the magazine. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you want us to ship it to you out of town, yeah, we're going to charge you something. You know, it's been fun. I mean, I enjoy the magazine. I was sort of retired before I bought it, and I always say I should have just stayed retired because it's work. I mean, it really is.
It is.
I've worked harder in the last year than I've worked in the last 10, you know, just because we were taking something over that had to be reorganized, and we had some staff changes and, you know, things like that. So it's just been a process, and we've got things now, I think, really well down pat and really organized and really in place. And we've got a great staff, and this new printer has worked out exceptionally well this month already. I mean, we've got the magazine today already. It's a day early. And so I think it's going to work out really well. But at the beginning, those first 2 months, it was just something constantly.
Yeah. Have I done?
Yeah. And one of the things that I didn't take into account is I did all the research and looked at the numbers and the taxes and, all this other stuff, talked to people. Todd and I, Todd Tucker and I had a 3-hour conversation one day about printing and about the business and, everything else. And he gave me some really good advice, but, I didn't take the human factor into account, to where we've got, 60 people that either advertise with us or write for us, and someone always wants to procrastinate. Somebody's out of town. Somebody forgets that they write for us. I've had one of our contributors pretty consistently last year. He's like, when's our stuff due? And I'm like, it's the 15th. It's always the 15th. It's the middle of the month. It's, how do you forget that? Put it in your calendar. But we have, we're sometimes down to the wire, and we're hey, look, if you don't get back to us, we're going to run your last ad. We can't pull you out of the magazine the day before. Hey, if you don't turn in your column tomorrow, we're going to have to replace it with something. And that gets tough, because a lot of times it's me at 11 o'clock at night writing something that I wasn't expecting to have to write. Or this month we had we've got a story on a local country artist, and I thought that, man, we were way ahead of the curve, and I was talking to Ticketmaster, Live Nation and Ticketmaster, 6 weeks before the magazine was going to have to get uploaded, and it turned into, really, we had an upload date originally of Thursday the 20th. And on Friday the 25th or the 21st, we get a message, and he's like, hey, he's not going to be able to answer any of those questions. And I was like, are you kidding me? And it was a full page that we had, reserved for it. And we had an extra couple of days because of this new printer to upload the magazine. But I'm like, technically, we were supposed to upload it yesterday. And now you're telling me the next morning that you aren't going to do anything. And originally, it had turned from a live Zoom, FaceTime interview to a phone call to, hey, email us some questions and we'll have him answer them on the tour bus, to he's not going to answer any of the questions. And so things like that happen every single month. And no matter how organized you are, someone else doing what they're supposed to do on a time frame. And it's tough. It's hard to write every month. I mean, I go through it all the time, because my editor's like, you need to send us the Taste of Evansville. We need that. And I'm like, well, if I wasn't handling 87 other things that have happened, I would have it done already. But, unless you get somebody else that arranges for you to get paid and collects money and bills and visits everybody and sells ads and delivers magazines and has a personal life on top of it, I just can't do it all, and I'll get it done when I get it done. I always get it done on time. It's just sometimes last minute, which is kind of how I function. So I was late today. I'm always late constantly for everything, and I try my best not to be, and I just can't get it together. So,
well, Brian, you're in your 10th year now on the Facebook. Well, you just celebrated your 9th anniversary.
Yeah,
so this is technically you're into your 10th year.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
You're moving into your 10th year. So congratulations on that. That kind of longevity is remarkable, and it's something to be proud of,
It surprised me, and it's changed. I mean, the food page has changed quite a bit, just on what people like and what they want and things. I mean, I got, I posted my Dining with Dogs article, about this past week, I guess, because I always put it up in the spring. I keep it updated every single month when places close or open or build a patio or whatever. And I had some guys, it's too long. I just don't want to read it. I don't read that much. And I'm like, dude, come on. I was like, I've spent years on this. I mean, I wrote it in 2016.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I've spent a long, long, long time on this, and I keep it updated. And I'm like, what do you want? I said, there's 130 something restaurants in town. How do I make that list shorter so that you don't have to read so much? And I'm like, and there's information from the health department that I want to put in there because it's relevant and it's important. And there's, information that people should let their dog, if they're going to take your dog out to the patios and sit and eat, let them go to the bathroom before they come in. Make sure there's water, make sure that they are on a leash and you don't tie the leash to the table so that if they chase a squirrel,
take
they
your food
pull
with
your
them.
Table
yeah,
with
right.
them, you know, whatever. Make sure they're well-behaved. Make sure they're vaccinated. I'm like, all of that information is relevant, and it needs to be in there, and I'm sorry that it's too long for you to read, but I'm just like, what is wrong with people? I was like, what? We're just so enamored with TikTok and entertain me with a video for 30 seconds. And you know, it's like, no, sit down and read a book. Read this, what I my kind of passion project that I took a long time to put together, and
yeah.
I still maintain. I'm like, you know, I was like, you know, so.
Well, I would guess that for every person that finds it too long, there are a lot of us who will look at that and say, thank goodness somebody put this together so we have kind of a comprehensive idea of where we can go and how we should behave when we get there.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. And same thing with News for You. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's two pages, you know, and we try to keep it around 500 to 700 words. But that with photos and everything else, it's two pages. And I'm like, if you just want some little blurb, I can't make that happen. I'm sorry. I can't, you know, abbreviate the names of restaurants so that it's half as long or whatever. But, you know, it's just like you're just going to have to read it or you're just going to have to look at the pictures, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, but we want to be informative and we want to be helpful to people. I mean, I people laugh at me, but I was like, it's kind of a public service, you know, and especially doing it for free. I don't get paid. The courier, you know, didn't ever pay me for anything that I've written for them. And, you know, and like I said, 9 years later, the food page, I'm just now starting to do something with, you know, with that. It's always been for free. So I've just done it to be helpful to the public, to be helpful to business, you know, and News for You is kind of the same way. I mean, it's a business, it's a magazine. And yes, we have overhead and we have to, you know, sell ads and whatnot. But the exposure that people get from that is well worth, you know, I think what the cost is.
Well, I'll be looking forward to talking to you again, maybe in next year, and see where you stand and see what kind of new pies.
I'll probably have a heart attack.
Well, I hope not.
It's, you know, it's one of those things where it can be stressful, but you just have to learn to enjoy it and manage it and whatever. And just sort of expect things to go wrong. I mean, that's one of the things is if you expect things to go south, you can handle it when they do. You know, and if they don't, it's a pleasant surprise. So, you know, it's one of those things. But you know, I hope the magazine continues to be relevant to everybody and interesting. The 1991. And I actually talked to Bashar, and one of our things that we're going to do is he has the first issue or a couple of first issues.
Oh, fun.
So we're going to get some pictures at least of those if I can't get an original first one. And we're going to do a story with him and all that. But, I mean, this is going to be, you know, 91 and 2015 is what – this is our 34th year this fall that the magazine's been in town. Evansville Living just celebrated their 25th anniversary.
Yeah,
so it's by far the oldest magazine in town, the longest continuous. And, you know, this year is our 10th. March of next year, I guess, will be our 10th anniversary. So, you know, these have been around for a while, and I hope that I can still, you know, continue to provide all that good information. And see, I've thought about that too. I'm like, one of my kind of goals is to have a place on the beach and live there 6 months out of the year. And I was like, if I go do that, I can't
do any of this.
I can't do any of it. You know, the food page is going to be, I mean, I can have a staff that runs the magazine, but it's like, you know, it would be remote. And so even with the food page, it's like, I can't drive by any place and take pictures if I'm in the Bahamas. So it's, you know, it's one of those things where I got to figure out the future too. And like you said, bring somebody on. So maybe you're looking for part-time work. Let's, let's talk about that and figure something out.
Brian Buxton, thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
Yeah. I appreciate the re-invite and bringing this crazy dog that has been pretty decently behaved.
He's been very well behaved today.
I mean, if you think about it, he was a year younger than this last time.
Yeah, he was just...
And he's still a wild, crazy puppy.
He is, and he's just a charmer. And we ask you back just so we can see Riley.
I'm sure. That's how it goes usually.
And that's our show. You can find Brian on Facebook, where he posts restaurant news on his page Fingers, Fork, Knife, and Spoon. News for You is available at 300 locations throughout Evansville, Anderson, Owensboro, and Newburgh. Food From Here is produced by Tri-State Public Media in Evansville, Indiana, home of member-supported WNIN-FM and WNIN-PBS. I'm Peggy Pirro. Thanks for listening.